You're listening to Get Ready for the Best, a series with the greatest stories of the Allianz Sailing World, Kiteboarding, Windsurfing and Parasailing Championships. An event where world sailors will show their pace and talent and where the stakes are high. Sailors from 86 countries will attend, over 1,200 athletes, all together performing at the beach of The Hague in the Netherlands. I'm Chris Wolbe, a Dutch sports journalist, and I'm looking forward to the Allianz Sailing World Championships. In this series, I invite the best sportsmen and women, organizers and top athletes from other disciplines. We'll discuss the beauty of facing the elements, the pressure and the challenges athletes and the sports come across. In short, we'll build up to The Hague, coming August 2023. Today's guests are Arno van Geiren, head of the Dutch Water Sports Association. Welcome, Arno.
Thank you.
And Jan Lammers, sporting director of the Formula One Dutch Grand Prix Zandvoort. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you.
Arno, you've been working a long time in sports, also in local governments, the community of Dordrecht. What pulled you to water sports?
I think it's the contradiction. It's typical Dutch, but then at the same time, it's so undiscovered by many people, especially by children. And it was via my children that I came into contact with the sports.
Really?
I saw them go out on the water in a sailing camp, and I saw something different when I see them go out on the football pitch or in a hockey stadium. So I saw a little bit of tension, of fear.
Yeah.
Daddy, get me out of here.
Really?
I saw them return after a couple of hours. They had the proud that like they've sailed the world.
All right.
And that's the feeling I wish to everyone in the Netherlands. So that's where the challenge started. The whole country in a boat or on a board.
Yeah, well that will be easy. Or a big boat.
Yeah.
Your son, Jan, he's racing too. Do you recognize something in the story of Arno?
Well, the first thing that springs to mind is that when I hear that, I think like, well, you know, these kids, they are, when you sail or do all the other wonderful sports, you're fighting the elements, you know, it's the wind, it's a temperature, it's
unexpected.
Water.
Yeah.
And you can't control that. So you really have to deal and adapt to the circumstances. And I love that idea. One of my life mottos is like attitude over circumstances.
Yeah.
But in this case, you know, when you're fighting the elements, that's quite a challenge. So you never actually know how big your opponent is.
You're a resident, you've born and raised in Zandvoort, near the water.
Yeah.
But you're a petrol head.
Why
did you choose for the tarmac and not for the water? I mean, the ocean.
Yes, Jan, tell me.
Well, that's a good question because I am born in New York. We have the meatpacking district. In Zandvoort, we have the fishpacking district. And that's where I was born, you know, the Pakveldstraat. So that's like 200 meters away from the sea. So actually, it could have just as easily have been...
You walked the wrong way, I think.
Well, it is, you know, I've been lucky because there is not only the racetrack, but in my case, there is also the skid school.
Yeah,
the skid control school where they just teach you like to control a car on a slippery road.
Right.
And I started there as a groundsman when I was 12 and just keeping the
tracks clean and
the skid pad wet and slippery and the cars clean, etc. And and the owner was quite a Dutch icon. His name was Rob Slotemaker, and he was known for his car control specifics. And
so it was an honor that you got asked.
Yeah, he taught me all I know.
Yeah.
But I also have many friends that went sailing and all that. So I grew up on the beach.
Yeah.
And I loved it also.
Your work, Arno, at the Dutch Water Sports Union, what do you do?
It's good to mention that it's not only about sailing. It's about windsurfing, kitesurfing, stand-up paddling, motorboat cruising, canoeing. And basically, it's about running a company, but it's a company about sports. And sports brings emotion and passion. So sometimes I feel like I'm the passion manager.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you recognize that? I mean, being the sporting 100%. Director of...
100%. I just thought like, well, that's a good word. Because in the beginning, when they ask you to be like a sporting director, it took me a while to find out like, what does it actually mean?
Yeah.
But you know, when you talk about sport, that in Dutch we say verbroedering, sport should really engage families and and athletes, even at the recreational level. So I think I do everything within my power to make that harmony as good as possible.
Yeah, but also the emotional management.
Yeah, that's right. But it's also about representing, and it's most of all representing the interests of our members, our athletes, our clubs, and bring some structure to the sport about education, safety, regulation, competition, talent development. And most of all, we promote our sport. That's why we're here for.
Yeah.
That's why we organize the Allianz Sailing World Championships. Yeah, promote our sport.
Yeah, you do top level sport, but also,
The recreational part, 80% is recreational.
Yeah. And you feel the same way that you're not only the Formula One Dutch Grand Prix director of Zandvoort, but also, one of the big athletes from before and the big name, and do you feel that responsibility also for the not only for the riders and the top part of your athletes, but also the rest?
Yeah, well, mostly the perception and also to protect the facts, because sometimes, for example, I was just going to ask Arno that he also mentioned amongst sailing, kiting, surfing, everything. He mentioned motorboats,
yeah.
And I thought, well, you must run into a few dilemmas also, where from an environment point of view, you prefer to promote sailing over motorboating. But you know, at the same time, although our perception of motor racing is one that might be polluting to people that don't follow it so close, but the facts are that these days we run with almost double the amount of horsepower and we consume about half the amount of fuel comparatively, compared to the days that I was running. And that's a technology that is also introduced on the car on the road, the hybrid system, where we generate a big part of our own energy. But like I say, I'm interested to see what Arno's dilemmas are.
Yeah, what are your dilemmas? Because you have all those parties as well. You have also what the public wants, the sustainability thing, of course, very...
Of course,
how do you
sustainable
manage that?
Is an issue, because we go out with sailing boats, but behind them there are some coach boats, safety boats, all run by fuel. But I think sport can set the example. We just finished the World Cup in the Netherlands as well, mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago, another event, and it was all run on hydrogen. So we can set the example.
Really?
And to get involved in the rest of our sports. So there are opportunities, and there are some restrictions during the World Championship. We have less coach boats, less boats going out there. Mm-hmm. But we're facing that challenge.
And is that a restriction... because of the sustainability or just the logistic argument?
Combined, but sustainability as well.
All right, okay. And have you, because you both have your own issues also with the sustainability, with the organizing. But you know, Simon Keizer, Simon the Emperor, Jan, I love him. He's a great guy. But the Dutch Grand Prix is about 20 cars on a track.
Exactly,
but we have like 900 boats, 1,200 athletes going in and out of the water. I mean, this is the Champions League of organizing. He said it, of course, with a smile. Yeah. But I think logistic, and also with a main event like the Dutch Grand Prix, I mean, that is really...
A nightmare?
Yeah. Well,
in The Hague, it's a challenge to go out, because it's one of the most popular beaches in the Netherlands, and it's open.
Yeah.
Entrance to the event is free. The harbor, it's open. They're still building in The Hague, Scheveningen especially. So, and among that we are organizing one of the biggest outdoor events in the world.
Ever, yeah.
So that's a challenge. It is a challenge, but that makes it special as well.
Yeah. But that was also before.
And our field of play is 8 kilometers by, I guess, 3. So when they're out in the sea, there's no problem.
No, but getting them in and getting them out,
that's the thing.
And of course, we're living in the biggest country in the world. Yeah. I mean, it was a main theme just before the first race at Zandvoort, coming back from 85, now blah, blah, blah. How did you manage that?
Well, of course, I'm just a little player in a huge team. There's hundreds of people, of course, involved, particularly if you take all the volunteers. So I think it's all about craftsmanship. And sometimes people ask, like, what does Max Verstappen have that the others don't?
It's
pure craftsmanship. You just have to be able to do what you should be able to do in your job. And we have so many qualified people. You mentioned Simon Keizer. Our press chef, like Simon, like me, there is so many people really part of that whole show, and they're all so good at their job that I am first and foremost very, very proud to be part of it, and what they have done in terms of the mobility program that we have, and the environment and everything, entertainment, what they have done, and the ideas that they come up and how thoughtful they are. I am so proud of that, and it's really also a statement of what Dutch people are able to do. So I'm also proud to be Dutch, of course, because we are quite able to do. But if I listen to Arno and you know, that scares the hell out of me, because every
why?
Because every competitor and every you know, all the people from the audience, all the visitors and all the partners, you know, there's also a big commercial link to it, undoubtedly, and those are all movable targets. So try and control them and to organize that chaos.
But they're very self-supporting. A sailor is driving his own bus, driving his own trailer, cleaning his own boat. They're so
on their park
own.
Somewhere.
They have to park. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm sure the challenge is bigger.
Yeah, they're very self-supportive, because that's also the name of the game. But that's in Formula One, same thing. But you got all the huge teams. I mean, it's. Do you have advices for Arno?
I don't have that pretense that I can add any value to Arno's organization. But in general, I think with events like this, whether it's the competitor, whether it's the spectator physically there or following on television, or whether it is like nature and environment groups, you name it. So all the people that are for or against an event like that, I think the big key word is empathy. And just try to understand each other, and try to understand before you want to be understood, and just live and let live. Yeah. And of course, when you do things like this, you cannot just brush away concerns that other people have from an environment or nature point of view.
Yeah.
You have to try and understand them and try to accommodate them and take action and make sure that they are convinced that you are doing the very best that you can.
Yeah. Do you recognize those words in terms of organizing the events like this?
Of course. And I think it's about working together, because it's The Hague brings in the town. They have the knowledge about the town. We have the knowledge about the sports, and TIG Sports is a very experienced event organizer, and you have to combine it. It feels like organizing an event with colleagues, and that's what needed, I guess. Those three strengths that we have to combine.
Yeah, it is also about knowing what you can do, but also knowing what the other qualities are. Do you know Niklas Heiner? Ever heard of Niklas Heiner?
Dad, I know him.
So every episode we'll start with an anecdote by Niklas Heiner. He's world champion laser 2014, multiple Dutch champion in the fin class, and he became fourth at the Olympics in Tokyo 2021. And he is the son of four-time Olympic competitor and Dutch sailor Roy Heiner. Niklas, come in.
It was 11th of June. I just finished one of the legs in the ocean race, one of my childhood dreams. I sailed from Aarhus, Denmark, back to my homeworlds in Scheveningen, a major sailing event. And it was awesome to do with 10 guys and girls on board, of which 3 girls and 50% of the team were under 30 years of age. I just realized in front of the finish that Scheveningen, The Hague, will be the host venue for the Sailing World Championships with 10 Olympic disciplines. How awesome is it that Scheveningen is hosting this major event in Holland? And how awesome would have had been if I could have competed in this regatta. I would have loved to try and win a medal for Holland on home waters. Unfortunately, through the gender equality rules, my Olympic discipline has been taken out of the Olympics. Fair, not fair, it's okay. Rules are rules, and I believe in diversity and that equal opportunity should be created. I do see the bigger picture and the opportunity it creates for a bigger group of athletes and people, who again on their stage will inspire the next generation to do great things. And I'm sure that the Allianz Sailing World Championships in The Hague will promote and inspire a new group of boys and girls, young or old. I'll be supporting there.
Right. What do you think of those words about Niklas, about the equality issue, of course, but still that means a no for some other groups?
First of all, I understand him because I understand his feeling that he's disappointed about it. I still think that there are Olympic chances for Nicholas, but who am I?
Wait, past then? Because
maybe in other disciplines, and he's a very talented sailor. He's one of the greatest sailor of his times, and an ambassador for his sport. I was just looking up, but he won the import race in The Hague. Oh. So he's very talented, and I think they won it because of his knowledge of the local circumstances. But then again, we have to keep up with our times and with the times. So our sport is changing. We have 10 classes in the Olympic program.
Yeah.
And that changes every now and then. It's a fact of our sport. Nicholas knows it. Everybody knows it. And it brings in new sports. It reduces maybe or it changes our medal chances, but it brings in new people like kite foiling, kite surfing. And that's what we need as well.
Absolutely. The constant change of a changing play field, changing demands you. Is that good for the sports? Is it healthy for the sports?
It depends a little bit because these days I think many of the sports and the regulations, particularly in motor racing, I see that developing, that things become a little bit over moralized and over democratized.
Yeah, you're all sportsmen, and we have a little quiz. Every show we do a little quiz, 3 questions. Now the one who gets close wins the quiz. Yeah, and we're now all. Yeah, I know. This is how it goes, dear listener. I mean, now it has been very friendly to each other, but hey, we can win something. Now the rules change. So 3 quite easy questions, and the one who gets more close gets the shoulder pad. That's it, or an air guitar maybe. That could also be
another glass of water.
Free ticket to the event.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that would be good. 10th of August. Okay, here we go. How many volunteers are necessary for the Allianz World Championships in Scheveningen alone? What do you think? So how many volunteers do we need for this event? What do you think?
I think about 1,200.
1,200. Okay. Only in Scheveningen, eh? Yeah? What do you think?
500.
500. Well, the answer is 638. So that means 1 point for you. Okay, but maybe we need
changed
more.
It yesterday, I think.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, exactly. Well, you know, maybe you get more volunteers. Maybe that's also a free advice here from Jan. Okay, so that's 1 for Arno. Right, I did this in my intro, but how many nationalities will participate coming August? So from athletes from how many different countries?
I would say probably 55.
55, 55. Okay, what do you think, Arno?
Yeah, I'm so informed. Tonga joined yesterday, so it's 86.
86. Oh, wow. 86. Wow. Yeah. Tonga joined in yesterday. 86.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's another point for Arno. But hey, we do now double or equal. You know that?
You
can come equal we double it. Right. How many media outlets will be around in The Hague? And we have 75 broadcasters. But the total media outlets, talking here about radio, internet, anyways.
34.
34? Yeah, okay.
Just a wild guess.
What do you think?
I don't know. This is
I thought you would know this one.
No, I'm not informed about the media. 65.
Yeah? Well, it is 296. So, okay.
Okay. But he wins again.
He wins again. Well let's go. Yeah. Well, maybe you make it up by inviting Jan for the event, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, with his friends maybe and a nice VIP arrangement. Yeah.
I might be kind of busy around that.
Yeah, I know.
We go out on the water because you have to get involved in our sport by going out in the water.
Organizing in your home country is something different because when you go abroad, you can your focus is different. How do you deal with the pressure of making that event successful? Because you are one of the faces of the event. How do you do that? And how do you deal with that pressure?
I think by celebrating.
Celebrating?
Yeah, it's a once in a lifetime. This year with the Ocean Race, with having the Allianz Regatta in the Netherlands, Allianz Sailing Worlds, Parasailing World Championships out on the Brassemermeer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once in a lifetime. So make the most of it. Enjoy it. I'm sure our athletes will see it that way. It's a once in a lifetime. They can sail their own North Sea during a World Championships.
Yeah.
And of course, it brings pressure, but it brings more fun.
And for you as an organizer? You deal with that pressure the same way because everybody's going.
You always have the moment when you arrive, you think about everything that can go wrong, and I hope it will. in the next following days, it will reduce, and you can have the time to enjoy as well.
Yeah,
we have a good team, and Yeah, like I said, once in a lifetime.
Yeah, and is that the same for you? Because, well, Dutch Grand Prix is not once in a lifetime, of course, but it's
yeah. Well, it, you know, it's pressure. Pressure has no substance, so pressure doesn't really exist. It exists for the person who has an appeal to that.
Yeah.
There's just things to do and that need attention, and you have to take action, and they require energy and blah blah blah. But pressure, top athletes, and I think people that organize events like this are close to that that kind of level, and they should love the pressure. They should really be inspired by it and see and realize the privilege that you have, that you're allowed to do something like that. And that is something
it's amazing. And when people can come together, clubs, partners, volunteers, when they gather their strengths, they can bring the world together in an event. That's amazing. That's so special about every sport event.
Yeah. And what you said earlier on, I'm proud to be Dutch. How is this that we as people, of course, there are different nationalities, we're living inside of a big Maduro dam actually. But we still try to organize all these events. Why? What is that?
Well, I think that if you have like a big country like America, that in the USA, I think that they automatically think they're the center of the universe, and that they want everybody to understand the USA. And if you go and try and do that with a small country like Holland, it's never going to work.
No.
So we know what it is to adapt, and we know what it is to understand all the other countries, and we realize that the universe doesn't evolve around us.
No.
So we know what it is to adapt to all those things and try to accommodate to all those wishes and requirements what it's needed in business or in entertainment or whatever, in this case events. So I think we are very agile and very adaptable rather than people from a big country.
When is the event after Dutch Grand Prix? And I'm going to ask you the same question, of course, Arno, for the World Championships. When do you have your moment? When is this event succeeded for you?
I think it's all in the preparation, you know. In our sports, you say you better prepare to avoid repair, preparere for om te reparere. So you have to prepare like an athlete has to prepare, not only physically but also mentally.
Yeah.
But he also has to warm up and stretch before he does his thing, and all these things. Otherwise, you get injuries, you know. But people can also get mentally injured. It's all in the preparation. So from the moment that the gates open, all the work that you have done to prepare for it should come into operation, and then you should be ready for all things that go wrong.
And do you have your moment? Because when the last person
Friday morning
is gone from
Friday morning when the light goes green in the pit where they can start a free practice, then you know that you can sit down and go and have a coffee, because then they have something else to watch.
Yeah. And how's that? When is your event? When is your part succeeded after the 20th of August? I mean, it's going to be a big success, of course.
Of course, we want to win. So, of course, we want to have Dutch winners when we're organizing it here. But I think most of all, it's about happy people out there on the beaches, discovering our sports, children going out there to have their first experience out on the water. Smile on their faces. So that's, I think that's the most important part of events.
And some of do you think that we can, when we organize sports competitions or, you know, big events, you know how it goes, it just goes poof in the sky and you've got all your adrenaline and fades slowly away and then reality kicks in and you always got this moment like maybe having a beer or something else. Sit back and relax, watch the sun going down, think, okay, that was a good one.
I think I misinterpreted your previous question.
Our
moment of glory is when the people go home and had a good time. That's it.
And do you take a moment for yourself, like or with your friends?
I try to do that 24/7 already last 67 years. You know, I think every minute of my life, you know, that I'm alive, that I'm healthy, and that I live in peace and freedom, and that that's my kids and my family are healthy. That's it. So that's a way.
There's always something like I think it's an hour that you think the world ends after an event. So this was it. It will never be as good again.
Yeah.
And in the end, that hour is. Yeah, the most special feeling.
Okay. Well, I hope you experience in your life many of those hours. Thank you for everything you put in and the things you had to say. It was a big honor for me and hope for you as well. So good luck with hosting the Dutch Grand Prix, of course, and the Allianz World Championship of Sailing.
Thank you. See you there.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, we'll see you, dear listener, in The Hague and later on in Zandvoort, of course, maybe. Best of luck in preparing those events. Thank you for joining Arno van Gerwen and Jan Lammers. In the next episode, we'll dive deeper into the sports with world champions and very talented sailors Odile van Arnold and James Peters. They will share their stories about preparing for a race in which you must perform. The moments when the stakes are very high. Thank you for listening to Get Ready for the Best. The Allianz Sailing World Championships are from the 10th till the 20th of August in The Hague. Hope to see you there. This podcast series is powered by Allianz.